Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favorite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new book trivia podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Greetings, fellow acolytes. Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I hope you enjoy this journey of all things Westeros. And in this episode, I'll be talking about Season 3, Episode 1 of House of the Dragon, episode titled Salt and Sea, Fire and Blood. It's been quite a while since we last saw House of the Dragon, and if you are a continued listener of this podcast, thank you for returning for another season. It really didn't feel like it's been that long since I last recorded an episode. Of course, I did do an episode before this one, but it has been about 4 months, give or take, since I basically last did a season of this podcast. Now, before I get into the reaction to this episode, I just want to make a very important announcement. Now, I typically release episodes of this podcast on Wednesday morning Eastern Standard Time, which is where I happen to live in. Due to some things that are currently going on in my life, next week's episode may potentially be released on Thursday instead of Wednesday. Actually, as I'm recording this episode, I literally just finished watching the first episode of Season 3 5 minutes ago. So if I'm able to record my reactions right after I finish watching the episode, and then I'm able to get all the editing done on Monday night, then it's possible I may be able to get next week's episode out in time. But if I'm not able to, then I may end up posting next week's reaction on Thursday. To make a long story short, it's my godmother's funeral next Tuesday. If I am unable to get the episode edited in time by Monday night, then I won't be able to get the episode posted on time for Wednesday. Because even though a bulk of the editing work I typically do on Mondays, there are usually some minor tasks related to what I typically do when I release episodes that I use Tuesday to get done in order to get these episodes out in time for Wednesday release dates. But like I said, because I will be attending a funeral next Tuesday, if I can't get everything done on time before I go to bed on next Monday night, then the episode won't come out on Wednesday. It'll come out on Thursday instead. So just so you are all aware, in case you check out the feed next Wednesday and you're wondering, oh, why isn't there a new episode? When is it coming out? That would be the reason why. It would potentially be delayed by 24 hours, roughly. But it is what it is. Real life happens. But at any rate, I will try to keep this reaction relatively short. And I say relatively short because in some respects, a lot of things happened in this episode, but at the same time, not a lot has happened in this episode. So we have just a few storylines. The bulk of the episode is about the Battle of the Gullet, which, in case any of you are new listeners to this podcast, I actually discussed pretty much everything that happens during the Dance of the Dragons and the whole time period of Rhaenyra versus Aegon all the way back in season 2 of this podcast. Just in case you're curious and you don't care about spoilers, head over to episode 207 and 208, which covers pretty much everything that House of the Dragon covers. Although I do discuss a lot of details and events that George wrote about that may or may not be depicted in House of the Dragon, which I'm going to get into a little more detail in just a little bit. But anyway, so my general thoughts of the episode is that while there are a few details that I'm not a big fan of, I would say overall this was a very solid episode. It actually covered pretty significant things that George did actually write about, which again I did discuss in particular in episode 207, which covers this part of the whole conflict. I also wished that in reality this episode was actually part of season 2. Because from a pacing perspective, this episode would have made a lot more sense as episode 9 of season 2 versus having this be the season opener, which it's not a bad episode for a season opener. I mean, it's very exciting, which you do want to see in a season opener, don't get me wrong. But given how typically HBO handles the pacing and the story beats that happen across a season of any of these shows for the Ice and Fire universe, I would say this should have been an episode 9 of season 2. This would have made a very incredibly dramatic episode 9. Which, again, if you watched Game of Thrones, presumably you have watched Game of Thrones if you're listening to this podcast, but you would know that typically the second to last episode of a season would have a very dramatic battle happening in it. And yeah, I wouldn't honestly be surprised if originally this was intended to be an episode 9, but for various reasons, it got shifted over to season 3. But at any rate, so I will get to the Battle of the Gullet towards the end of the episode. So we got something interesting that happened, which was that Rhaena finally got herself a dragon. There have been many divergences in the show from what George wrote about in Fire and Blood. But I have to say this particular storyline is one of those subplots that is really different. Because in the book, Rhaena actually hatches an egg while she's in the Vale. And we don't really hear too much about whatever happens to her dragon, which is a hatchling that she names Mourning through the rest of the saga. It's just not very clear. He doesn't really expand on whether or not Mourning ever actually grew up to have Rhaena be a dragon rider. He just never really gets into much detail about that. But she does, in fact, get an egg to hatch. There is a dragon called Sheep Stealer, though, and it had a very different rider. And the rider in question is a young woman named Nettles. And Nettles didn't get the dragon as quickly as Raina managed to do. In fact, Nettles had to essentially bribe the dragon into letting her ride it. Basically, she bribed Sheep Stealer by gifting it a sheep every single day. And eventually, it got so used to her that it was like, okay, fine, you can get on my back, whatever. And it took a while, but she eventually was able to establish a pretty solid bond with Sheep Stealer enough to actually control it. Versus Raina, who very quickly gets permission to bond with the dragon, but because she has absolutely no training with dragon riding, and also the fact that this is a wild dragon that was never bonded to a human at all, it's more unpredictable and pretty unruly, which is what we see in this episode. And things get quickly out of hand, and we will likely see some consequences in the rest of the season because of this. It's also going to create a lot of consequences because, again, this is something that, like I said, did not happen in the book. Raina never ended up participating in the war in any respect. I will be curious to see how Ryan Condal and the writing team end up doing stuff with this change in Raina's storyline. It'll also be really interesting to see what happens with Daemon, considering that Nettles is no longer a factor in his storyline either. If you want to know what I'm talking about, you're going to have to listen to episodes 207 and 208 because I don't want to discuss any of that again until we actually get to later on in the season or potentially in next season, depending on the pacing. The other interesting storyline I will also make a mention of is how we got a glimpse of Daemon actually doing some fighting for a change, which we hadn't seen since season one, pretty much. He didn't do a ton of fighting that we could see in season two, but yeah, Daemon is finally able to swing a sword again. And he wins, and not only that, he also gets some much-needed backup from Northmen sent by Craigan Stark. We will be seeing more of his Winter Wolves throughout the season, hopefully. They showed up, they made an appearance on screen, so hopefully that does mean that we will see more of them in later parts of the show. And then another story beat we get is we get another look at the Green faction. We have four short storylines when we look at the Green faction. One story beat we get is Laerys and Aegon, who have run away from King's Landing. It does appear that Laerys is trying to help Aegon escape, and yet he suddenly reveals to the guards who have stopped them on a patrol, he reveals that the guy with him is actually Aegon II, who Rhaenyra would love to get her hands on. It is fairly different compared to what actually happened in the book. But again, if you're curious about that difference, I get more into it back in season two. But basically, I will confirm that this did not happen. Aegon manages to sneak away to safety for a while, and he later reappears. But Again, I'm not going to reveal what actually happened in the book, mainly because I would prefer not to spoil it for anybody who chooses not to listen to season two because they don't want to be spoiled. We also see that Alicent manages to get back to the Red Keep after her inexplicable trip to Dragonstone, which I would like to point out, again, never happened in the book because that is a really stupid idea. Why would Alicent run the risk of sneaking herself over to Dragonstone at a time like this? And not to mention, I will point out that, again, in Fire and Blood, it's pretty clear that Alicent, as far as how the book depicts her, is very much firmly of the belief that her son Aegon should be and is the rightful king versus her stepdaughter Rhaenyra. So there is absolutely no reason why Alicent would do such a thing as to go visit Rhaenyra on Dragonstone. But I digress. Anyway, she gets back to the Red Keep and she is confronted by Aemond, who wants to know what is her deal, where has she been, what is going on with her, where the hell did his brother go? It's hard to say at this point as to what Aemond's intentions are with his brother now. He's basically in a position to totally take over, and Aegon being injured and barely able to handle day-to-day life at this point is not in a real position to do much of anything to stop Aemond. If anything, he should actually be very careful that Aemond doesn't try to kill him again. But we do see more interaction between mother and son, which I have to say, I really don't get why they decided to create a kissing scene. It's so awkward and out of the blue and frankly unnecessary. It's just bizarre. I don't know why writers like to use a lot of Freudian things in writing when it's all weird and ridiculous and completely out of character and just completely unnecessary. But anyway, it is really interesting to see that she does manage to convince Aemond to leave the city and head off to the Riverlands, which is important because that is something that does actually happen in the book, although that is not the reason. The real reason why he goes to the Riverlands in the book was precisely directly to deal with the forces in the Riverlands that are supporting Rhaenyra, and to basically confront his uncle, because as far as everybody is concerned, Daemon is, out of all of the people who are supporting Rhaenyra's claim to the throne, he is the one who's the most dangerous because he is an experienced warrior. He has fought many battles, and he has a very powerful dragon. Caraxes may not be the largest dragon, but Caraxes is a very formidable dragon by itself. And having a very experienced knight and warrior riding a dragon like this is a really serious threat. He's very well aware that if he manages to take down Daemon and Caraxes, Rhaenyra is going to have a harder time, even if technically she does have more dragon riders than what they have in the Green Faction. It's really because he's the most experienced dragon rider they currently have now. But yes, so we will soon see Aemond heading to the Riverlands, and we will see what happens when he tries to have a, shall we say, conversation with his uncle. We also get a glimpse of the Hightowers, who are, of course, Alicent's family, and they are the primary backers of Aegon on the throne, considering he is half Hightower. It will be interesting to actually see the Hightowers in action. when it comes to battles that are happening in the war, it's really interesting also to see Ormond Hightower. There's not a lot of detail about Ormond Hightower in Fire and Blood, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I flipped through that particular section of the book, but I don't recall there being a ton of detail about him. But it is interesting how they choose to depict him as being a very fastidious lord. It's really hard to say how really experienced he is in battle, truthfully, because a more seasoned knight who has actually fought a lot, and I don't count tourneys as fighting, but as in like actually spilling guts and stuff, I don't imagine those types would really give a crap about how somebody is smelly or not smelly, really, because you're more focused on not getting your head chopped off or any of your limbs chopped off or being stabbed to death or clubbed to death or whatever in a battlefield to give a crap about somebody smelling a little funky, okay? So I have a sneaking suspicion he probably hasn't done much fighting in any meaningful sense, and that may be something that we're going to see the consequences of in upcoming episodes. We do get a better look at Tessarion, which is the dragon that Daeron Targaryen rides. And we have yet to actually get a look at the third Targaryen brother that has been hinted at since season two, but we never actually got to see. It's a little silly at this point. It's starting to feel almost like Daeron is like Maris in Frasier, a character who gets referred to a lot, but we never actually see on screen. That's what Daeron is slowly starting to turn into for House of the Dragon, if I'm being honest here. But there has been indications that there is an actor who was cast as playing Daeron, but it's just that for whatever reason, they have chosen not to show him yet, but whatever. We do get another scene where we have Criston Cole. I don't know. Now, I have to say, Fabian is a very nice guy, very wonderful, warm person, very cool guy to meet and to talk to, actually. If you ever get a chance to go to a convention where he is making an appearance at, I did get a chance to actually meet him back in 2024 at New York Comic Con. Yeah, Criston Cole consistently continues to get worse and worse in many respects. Worse as in he progressively becomes more unlikable, which I guess is what you are intended to feel. And honestly, I felt that way in the book, truthfully, for various reasons, but I'm not going to turn this into a big long rant about it. But yeah, we will be seeing more of Criston Cole this season, and I have my own speculations about what's going to happen season three. In fact, I may do a blog post actually later this week where I discuss some of my theories and predictions about what I think will happen in this season. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to know beat for beat what exactly happens in this season, but it's more like I'm going to make some predictions as to which events from the book will actually be depicted in season three. Some of them may get pushed off to season four. Some of them may just not be included in the show at all, which would be disappointing, but may not completely surprise me depending on what it is. But I know I'm being very vague, but I decided that maybe I'm going to put it in writing versus spending time on the podcast episodes talking about it. In case you're curious, head over to thewesterosiprimer.com where you can read the blog that I very occasionally write. And also you can sign up to the newsletter where you can get notifications about when episodes of this podcast drop. You can also get notified when I do post anything on the blog for your own convenience, but at any rate. So yeah, that's the green faction. I will get onto the giant elephant in the room, which is the Battle of the Gullet. There have been quite a few interviews as part of the promotions for season 3 that indicated that the Battle of the Gullet was going to be in this first episode. And the main details that happened are pretty much what I knew was going to happen. When they confirmed that the Battle of the Gullet was going to happen in this episode, I was like, we are all going to have to say farewell to a character that I have grown fond of, and I'm sure many of you listeners have also grown fond of. It is rather sad that Harry is leaving the show because of this episode. I knew that this was going to happen because, of course, I read Fire and Blood. I know how the story goes, and I knew he was going to die, which in whichever episode this event happens. And it just so happens that he's only going to be in the first episode, and then he's out for the rest of the show. It's pretty sad. I have grown fond of the character. Jace is a very likable character. He's trying to be the good, responsible, loyal, firstborn, oldest brother, oldest son, and he tries to do the right thing, and it doesn't always work out for him, despite his efforts. But I have no doubt that being a part of this show will give Harry a lot of opportunities for his acting career, like it has done for a number of actors who have been in both House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones. It was also really interesting that they depicted Rhaenyra as a very frustrated queen who wants to do more and be more, which some will argue that, yes, this is not a very accurate in the sense that Rhaenyra in the TV show in many respects is not quite the same as Rhaenyra in the book. But I will agree that Rhaenyra was never really given a lot of guidance and opportunities to prove herself as an heir. That was a mistake that Viserys himself made many times, because it's like you declared her to be your heir and to become the future queen, yet you basically did very little to actually prepare her to become queen. And it's because you didn't give her a lot of opportunities to do things. You basically set her up for failure. You set her up into a situation where many people dismiss her and refuse to accept her as the queen. Her dad did just about everything he could to make her heir and yet not make her the heir. It's just really frustrating. And we see more of this in the show where she wants to be seen as a dynamic ruler. And yet when she tries to do any of that, she gets blocked and she feels a growing frustration about this. And I get the strong, sneaking suspicion that this much frustration is going to come up later and is going to explode. And this is going to be one of my personal vague predictions about what will happen later in the season and season 4 as well. We also got to see some really impressive sea battling where Corlys and his forces have to do battle with the Triarchy. It is well done choreography and clearly not easy to deal with when you have to deal with water and things crashing and ships breaking and lots of fire and shooting and all that craziness. Which is why, again, circling back a little bit to what happened with Jace, it is very sad. It's all chaos, a lot of chaos happening. Because you have some inexperienced teenagers getting themselves into a situation that in some ways they were trained for, but they were not fully prepared for. Suffice it to say, this is going to be a very ugly war. But yeah, so that was my general reaction to the first episode of season three. If I have some additional thoughts, I will probably post it on the blog within the next few days. I just wanted to get on the mic and start recording as soon as the episode ended, just to get my initial thoughts off the top of my head while I'm thinking about it. But yeah, so thank you for listening to this episode. Tune in next time where I will do my general thoughts and reaction to the next episode of House of the Dragon. So, Valar Morghulis. What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.